Today, the government of Nagorno-Karabakh said it would dissolve, formally ending more than 30 years of separatist rule for the ethnically Armenian enclave inside Azerbaijan. As Ali Rogan reports, this comes after Azerbaijan launched a lightning offensive last week that's triggered a massive humanitarian crisis, with more than half of Nagorno-Karabakh's population fleeing to neighboring Armenia.
A massive exodus visible from space. The only road connecting Nagorno-Karabakh to Armenia, now an escape corridor for a traumatized population, jammed with thousands of cars as people try to flee. They arrive in Armenia hungry and scared.
We ran away to survive. It was horrible. Children were hungry and they were crying.
That's a reference to last week's artillery attack. Karabakh residents rushed for cover after Azerbaijani airstrikes set buildings on fire. Azerbaijan called it an anti-terrorist operation and released video of drone strikes on what they said were Armenian defense positions. The 24-hour offensive ended in a Russian-brokered ceasefire, forcing separatist Karabakh troops to dissolve their formations and disarm. Azerbaijani soldiers ripped out the Armenian flag and raised their own in villages they say they liberated. Azerbaijani President Ilham Aliyev declared victory.
As a result, Azerbaijan has restored its sovereignty.
I think his objective is to erase Karabakh.
Richard Kozlarich is a former U.S. ambassador to Azerbaijan.
It wasn't that long ago that he was talking about pushing Armenians not only out of Karabakh, but out of Armenia itself.
Last week's attack was short-lived, but the damage inside Nagorno-Karabakh ran deep. On a trip to the region this week, USAID Administrator Samantha Power pledged $11.5 million in aid, but food and medicine are still scarce, and the offensive exacerbated an already dire humanitarian crisis. For 10 months, Azerbaijan blocked the Lachin Corridor, the only road connecting the enclave with Armenia, cutting off the region from essential supplies.
Stopping the food and all the essentials to the people in Nagorno-Karabakh, that is a classic genocide inflicting conditions.
Luis Moreno Ocampo was chief prosecutor for the International Criminal Court. He says Azerbaijan uses starvation as a weapon, even after the International Court of Justice this year ruled the blockade, quote, may have a serious detrimental impact on the health and lives of individuals, which That's Ocampo says proves Baku's genocidal
because
intent.
President Aliyev took the decision to fully blockade the Lachin Corridor after the International Court of Justice said to him that blocking the Lachin Corridor created a risk of death. So he knew, and he did it, willingly.
Today's crisis isn't new. Nagorno-Karabakh first declared its autonomy within Azerbaijan during the Soviet Union. But for the past 30 years, intermittent violence plagued the region.
What did happen in the breakup of the Soviet Union was that you had a group of Armenian nationalists who wanted to make it an independent entity.
When the Soviet Union collapsed, the enclave was seized by Armenian separatist forces backed by the Armenian military in a war that ended in 1994. Then in 2020, Azerbaijan launched a brutal 44-day war and regained most of its previously lost territory. The fighting left tens of thousands of Armenians living in the region without a plan for peace, but under the protection of 2,000 Russian peacekeepers. Armenian President Nikol Pashinyan said they failed to ensure security.
The responsibility for these developments will be completely on Azerbaijan, who adopted an ethnic cleansing policy and Russian peacekeepers in Nagorno-Karabakh.
But Moscow says its peacekeepers evacuated civilians and that Armenians' accusations are unfounded. In a statement, Russia's foreign ministry said, quote, the Armenian leadership is making a huge mistake by deliberately attempting to sever Armenia's multifaceted and centuries-old ties with Russia.
That in itself should be a cause of concern about what role a Russian peacekeeping operation can play, you know, having basically attacked one party in the conflict. What Russia is trying to do is part of what it's been trying to do, is to make sure that these countries do not resolve their conflict without Russia being the key actor.
After several rounds of talks, today Nagorno-Karabakh's government said it will cease to exist, ending its three-decade bid for independence. This week saw another player with a historic relationship in the region, Turkey's Recep Tayyip Erdogan, who wants to create a land corridor between Turkey and Azerbaijan through Armenia. But despite months-long talks brokered by the EU and US and other efforts to forge a deal, a peace settlement between Yerevan and Baku now seems elusive, Kozlovich says.
What will be difficult to happen is to recreate the environment before this fighting broke out, where the US and the EU in particular have been trying to mediate a peace agreement.
From the U.S. so far, calls for calm. In the last week, Secretary of State Antony Blinken has spoken twice with Azerbaijan's President Aliyev to prevent further violence and maintain the ceasefire.
We think it's important that the ceasefire be maintained, that the humanitarian needs be addressed.
The people living in the Karabakh region are Azerbaijan citizens, regardless of their nationality. Their safety, security, well-being will be ensured by the state of Azerbaijan.
But how Azerbaijan treats its own citizens is also questionable. President Aliyev has concentrated power and weakened any form of opposition or dissent. Independent organizations say there are as many as 200 political prisoners, including journalists and activists. Among them, world-renowned academic Gubad Ibadoglu, who faces up to 12 years in prison under counterfeiting charges, allegations he denies. His youngest son, Emin Beyramli, lives in the U.S.
He was an economist first and a civil rights defender second, and that made him very powerful.
Over the years, Ibadoglu investigated corruption inside the Azerbaijani government, including in Nagorno-Karabakh. He's now on pre-trial detention, where he's been denied access to food and medicine to treat his diabetes.
As he's in prison, it creates a domino effect where civil society in the country has been completely abolished. And this seems to be the reality, where people are scared to talk.
But his children talk even as they're intimidated. Emin sent us these photos of his ransacked room in New Jersey by what he suspects are Azerbaijani officials.
They use social media against us. They put pictures of my sister, and we do feel threatened, but our love and our dedication for our father and our country is greater.
A country torn apart by decades of war and trauma, with a rift that grows as tens of thousands continue to flee into an uncertain future. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Allie Rogan.